Chapter 6. Judas the Typical Humanist. From the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verses 16 to 20. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you in eternity. That is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you again. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live and you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me, and I in you. In the preceding chapter we described two problems concerning the Gnostic pupilship as they are outlined in the Gospel of John, in the characters of Thomas and Philip. We shall now deal with the third problem, confronting us in the practice of the Gnostic pupilship. This problem is outlined in the character of Judas, not the Judas Iscariot who betrayed Jesus, of whom we read again in that overflowing treasure of John 14. This Judas is typical of the humanist in an extreme form, of the man who wants to press the whole world to his heart, who wants to show every human being sincere, true friendship. Now, a person of this type, although in many respects a wonderful person possessing eminently good qualities, poses an immense problem as a Gnostic. For you to understand this, we will lay special stress on the passage of the Gospel under quotation. Jesus the Lord speaks to the intimate circle of his disciples. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. This brings up the question, how it is that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world. You see, there is the problem. The man with the humanist complex wants to be kinder than the scientifically applied love practice of the Gnosis itself. We have described to you the man with the dual soul and the one drifting on clouds. Now in Judas we have the dialectical addition of the savor of men who, by his very activity, becomes a destroyer of men, and consequently, one of mankind's greatest enemies, and what is more, one of the greatest obstructing factors in the holy work. How all this can be, we will try to explain to you. In pulling a fish out of the water, you will kill it, because you remove it from its natural element. Before placing any human being in the sphere of life of the Gnosis, you will first have to make sure that you do not tear him away from his natural element. How can we establish this? By determining the signature of the person concerned. This signature must meet certain conditions. First of all, dialectics must have become oppressive to him as a sphere of life. Secondly, a positively new seeking element must be clearly apparent in him. Thirdly, such a person, being as it were of an entirely new nature, must already spontaneously come to live by new norms, even if only with a stumbling gait in endeavoring to walk a new path. If there is no such signature, a person is definitely not, or at least not as yet, fit for life in. The Gnostic field. Whoever disregards this rule will always do serious harm to someone who does not have the required signature. Imagine that through you a person enters the spiritual school in a very immature state of being. It is then practically certain that he will not be able to stand it there, that he will come into conflict with the school and will have to be removed from the field of work, thus often leaving him filled with a great hatred towards the school. The result is that this undoubtedly bitter experience has permanently damaged this person's sense of taste, which is the general seeking faculty. And because of the bitterness of his experience, he will never again feel inclined to re-enter the school. In other words, if you would have acted in such way with such a result, you would have committed nothing short of murder of a soul. Now, it must be said that many a worker of the school has already perpetrated a number of these soul murders by his humanistic complex, even with the best intentions. The case is simply as said in John 14. If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, with all the inherent consequences. In the interest of the souls, we all have to take heed of this. Many a worker with such a humanistic complex is victimized by his compassion for the general suffering of mankind. By no means do we think of taking this compassion away from you, and we certainly will make no effort to harden your heart in this respect. On the contrary, be sure to help the person who evokes your pity. Do not fail to show your great-heartedness, for it will adorn you. But never try to help them by your compassion in leading those who are not ripe for it into the spiritual school. Every dialectical human being suffers great sorrows. In fact, this is the signature of our dispensation. It is through these sorrows and the resulting experience that every soul ultimately becomes sufficiently mature to show the threefold signature we have described to you. If this signature is not yet present, then leave the natural soul in its own element until it cries out for help. Until such time, limit your help to the dialectical level. If there is hunger, give to eat. If there is thirst, give to drink. If there is cold, give cover. For the rest, do not speak of the one way of salvation if there is no interest, and do not force such an interest. We feel bound to give you this warning in order to impress the fact upon you that it is the task of the school to be a pioneer. First of all for its pupils, but also to lead seekers and wanderers to the Gnosis. In this last task, the pupil can and may be of help, and is even very welcome to help. But vigilance is imperative. Therefore, we repeat the warning. Be careful not to harm souls.